So today we have a very special treat. We're going to have four members of the congregation share with us what unity means to them. And first up, we have one of the original members, St. Julie Zumwalt. No, we know you, Julie. So each of them is going to share with us for 5 minutes.
We'll give you the hook.
I was just told I'll get the hook if I don't keep it at 5 minutes. Wow, this is fantastic. It is so beautiful to see you all here today. Happy anniversary. So we got the call, the same call that I know that many of you received in the late fall of 1999. It came as a deep longing, this deep longing that wouldn't be ignored. And then it came as a robust nudge, you know what I'm talking about. And then as a force that we couldn't ignore. To be in spiritual community and to give gratitude. So we came to those first times with Unity in the Gold Country, and we knew we found our home. Immediately, we began participating in weekly Sunday services. We started tithing. We volunteered in every single position there has ever been, ever. And we began taking classes. In one of those first classes, Reverend Joe introduced and I participated in my very first mastermind prayer practice. And my life was changed forever. Thank you, Reverend Joe. I'm going to get through this. It was during that class that I really learned the power of prayer. Thank you. I prayed for each of my classmates, and they prayed for me. We prayed for each other's special requests, but more importantly, we prayed for each other's highest good. In that space, away went personality, away went character, away went physicality, and any perceived flaws or misgivings. And we prayed directly to the Christ light in each of us. It felt so connecting, I could feel the power of my classmates' prayers for me during the day. I knew when somebody was praying for me, I got a little zing. I had never known that feeling before, and it blew me away. And I felt like for the first time in my life, Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them, was proven without a doubt, and my faith was strengthened. I knew immediately that I wanted every other single person I knew to have that same experience through this spiritual community that is Unity in the Gold Country. So I dedicated myself and my family, and we became charter members. On our spiritual journey with Unity in the Gold Country, we received a calling. Our family received a calling in 2003. And this time, it came as a leap of faith. And that leap of faith directed us to take our son Meyer to Canada for 5 weeks of special treatment. Whew, that was quite a calling. The treatment itself was expensive. We would be separated as a family. Meyer and I would be in a very, very small, remote town in near Lake Ontario, actually on Lake Ontario, in winter. And we would be experiencing a treatment that was unknown to us, but we heard the call. We couldn't believe it. And so we prayed, and we prayed hard with our spiritual family here at Unity in the Gold Country. Well, our answer came back to us in prayer that yes, we were to take the leap, but that definitely we would not be going alone. We would be taking God as Unity in the Gold Country with us. With a generous church fundraiser and prayers, we participated in life-changing treatment for Meyer not just once in 2004, but in 2005, 2006, and 2008. During those five-week treatment sessions, congregants sent us cards and letters, and they prayed for us. I have never felt such love and support in my entire life. Sorry, honey. Stop. These past 20 years, we've had many other deep soul experiences and revelations through our connection to unity in the Gold Country. Sorry. What we first felt like was magic or a miracle, we now affirm it's all that is. Awake in our lives, and we are here to practice that listening. Our journey with unity in the Gold Country is ongoing because transformation requires ongoing dedication and remembering. By being 20-year active members, we have developed lasting relationships and we have grown spiritually. We've been able to activate our lives through unity principles, and unity has assisted our development as spiritual beings having this very, very real human experience. Unity has amplified our vibrations, our good vibrations, and kept us from falling off the wagon. Yeah. Aristotle said, "The whole is greater than the sum of the parts." Belonging to this community, I have absolute faith in synergy and the reciprocity, in the giving and in the receiving. I often think of unity in the Gold Country as a tapestry, and we are all threads in that weaving. Without all of you, I'd just be a thread. But all of us together, you make us a beautiful tapestry. And I was looking for that. Where is that? And I found in Proverbs 27:17, it's written, "Iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens the wit," in Hebrew, "the face of another." Well, then I started thinking of that, thanks to Charles Fillmore. And the face, of course, is the location of our third eye and our crown chakra. And Charles Fillmore wrote that iron, the metaphysical meaning of iron, is that it's a place of vision, piety, and reverence. But what happens when iron strikes iron? It creates a spark. A spark of the divine we give to one another. It's mutual. We give and we receive and we benefit each other. Thank you for answering your call and for giving me and helping me to be a spark, and to all of us for becoming a beautiful tapestry. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie. And so now we have one of our younger members, and I'd like to invite Tracy Sterling to come forward and share what unity means to her.
I think so. I was thinking this morning how Matt Kahn says, what you're feeling is a healing, and so I'm healing the fear of public speaking for, I think, the whole world right now. So I just wanted to put that out there. William James, a 19th century philosopher, said that all religions start with the cry, "Help." And it was that cry that brought me to unity about 10 years ago. When I was one, I had a childhood trauma that jolted my body into a permanent state of fight or flight. And within that year, it manifested as chronic illness. By the time I found unity, I was feeling pretty desperate. I spent many years searching for fixes outside of myself, but at my first unity service, my heart cracked open, and I cried like a baby. From then on, I think I cried at every service for probably the next 7 years or so. My conditioning and a belief system that wasn't true ran deep, but my heart knew truth every Sunday when it heard it. The tears that poured out of me were tears of relief that maybe there was another way. For many years after the service, I would try to exit the building as quickly as possible, terrified that someone might try to talk to me and see how messed up I really was, scared that I wouldn't be accepted. For many years, I continued to struggle with my health and the incessant fear-based thoughts that looped in my mind. But slowly, I started coming to the classes that were offered during the week, and I began to find community. I began to form relationships with Reverend Joe and Lynn, and then later Reverend Jerry. Both Reverend Joe and Reverend Jerry became trusted confidants, and during the classes, I began to learn I wasn't the only one struggling. One time when it was really bad, Reverend Joe drove all the way from Auburn just to sit with me at Unity to offer me support. He told me I could call him anytime, day or night, and I knew that he meant it. Another time, the physical discomfort I dealt with was so bad, I remember sharing with Jerry that I wanted to die, and he allowed the space for me to share my deepest pain. Through it all, I began to get to know the congregation and feel safe, yet I was still deeply stuck in a place of fear. Then, a little over 2 years ago, I reached a place where I was so sick, something in me knew I wasn't going to be around much longer if things didn't change. I had learned enough by then to know that two things had to happen. I needed to make peace with my current situation, and I needed to break the fear-based looping that was constantly going on in my head. So I took a long, hard look at what I was most afraid of, and suddenly I realized that my biggest fear was leaving my kids without a mother. That's when I realized if God was my true mother-father, then God had to be mother-father to my children as well. So I said, okay, God, if I'm supposed to die now, I trust you to care for my children. And that's when it felt like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. Adi Ashanti calls it forced grace. The next thing I needed to change was my thought. So for the next 3 days, my mantra from morning till night was, I love you. In spite of how sick I felt, I forced myself to go to as many classes at Unity as I could, and I began to receive guidance to teachers that taught me about compassion, presence, and surrender. I threw myself deeply, moment to moment, into a state of presence and stillness I had never experienced before. And in spite of all the challenges in my body, my mind was quieting and my heart was beginning to open. Within a few weeks, things began to dramatically shift for me. I still had ups and downs, but I have been healing ever since, and I am healthier and more at peace and happier now than I've ever been. In this last year, I realized I no longer run out of the building anymore after Sunday service. Instead, I look forward to staying when I can to speak to everyone here whom I love so much. This community has become a community of friends for me that have cared for, loved, and accepted me through thick and thin that I know I can always rely on. Unity has become a place that I can count on to remind me of my truth when life's circumstances become challenging and I forget. I've discovered a power within me that I know I can always count on. I've learned I have a great deal of influence over my life experience, and I've learned during life's biggest challenges, not only is it safe for me to surrender and completely let go, but it is actually the wisest thing to do. And if I am to take action, it will be guided from my deepest wisdom. These are the experiences, friendships, and life skills that I have received from all these years at Unity. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. And next up, we have Greg Plank.
Hello, everybody. I had pages of notes at home, and I finally late last night, I got, just keep it simple. I got it all on one piece of paper now. So, what I love about this unity in the Gold Country is the sense of community that I've gotten since my wife and I have come here. We we felt so welcome from the very beginning. You know, we felt like we were in the right place from the very beginning. Everyone was so positive, and we were able to make deep connections with people and had deep spiritual and meaningful conversations with members, and I was able to connect, and we were both able to connect with a lot of people that were just like-minded, kind of into some of the same things that we were into. And we'd been with Unity for a long time. We joined Unity, Christ Unity in Sacramento back in the 80s. And we had kind of, when we'd moved to Davis, we'd kind of gotten away from the Unity. We were starting to kind of not go quite as often and stuff. And we just felt a calling to go somewhere. And we had several places in mind. And I just feel blessed that we chose this place, because we knew the area, being living in Sacramento. We'd been up here a lot and loved the area, but we didn't know anything about the Unity Church or anything else. So what happened was we began going to classes, and I think that's a real strong recommendation for everyone, that really gets you close with other people in the congregation. Also, you have great opportunities to grow and with new ideas. And we went first of all to Matt Kahn is what got us up here. I had bumped into him on YouTube and I thought he was really radical and really interesting. And so our first foray up here was at Matt Kahn when he came to Unity a couple times, a couple years ago in the same year. And so we love that, and we started coming to a Matt Kahn group and here at Unity. We drive every day from Sacramento, or every week from Sacramento up here, and go to the Matt Kahn group and the Way of Mastery, which we really resonated with both of those. And I've kind of really found that the Course of Love really spoke to me, and I really enjoy doing the volunteer work in the healing clinic. And Claire and I did a energy healing workshop that was really successful, and we had a lot of fun. And the healing portion of Unity, the idea of healing, has always been a foundational piece. So I was really happy to be able to be part of that and in the present moment. So the other thing that I really enjoyed about this spiritual center was the volunteer opportunities, because that gave me a really good way to serve. And I'm on the sound team and special events committee chairman, and I volunteer for the healing clinic, and all of those things have helped me more than they've helped anyone else. just to be able to serve and to be, you know, a active member, and the gifts there are really great. And so I just feel blessed to be part of this progressive community, and to be able to practice the principles that I've learned, you know, and to try to become my Christ self in form, basically, is what the goal is in my mind anyway. And so it's given my life a lot of purpose, and I just love being a part of a positive change that we're all hoping for. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Greg. And last but not least, we have board member Kathy Lee Knight.
Okay, well, getting up here takes 30 seconds off of my talk. My brothers and sisters, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Well, normally I don't talk about my 12-step recovery program in AA, except with other members of Alcoholics Anonymous or with my minister. So, while I was talking with Reverend Jerry about my spiritual journey here at Unity, he invited me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you this morning. So, briefly, I'm going to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. For me, the combination of early childhood trauma coupled with a genetic predisposition toward alcoholism created the perfect storm just waiting to happen. Now, oddly enough, I did not have my first drink until I was 21. Now, that was because I could see what alcohol did to other people, and I didn't want to be like that. So I was determined to be more careful. But anyway, when I was 21, I was a junior at Fresno State University and a member of the Delta Zeta sorority house, and my sorority sisters took me out drinking for my birthday. What happened, though, is that I immediately understood what alcohol could do for me. For the first time, I felt just a complete sense of ease and comfort and freedom. And so, you know, I no longer cared about what alcohol could do to people because I had actually experienced what it did for me. At long last, I felt good. I even felt great and cute. I belonged and I fit in. And I no longer felt alone and self-conscious and separate and different and just afraid all the time. Well, needless to say, I was very sick the next day, but I could just hardly wait to drink again. So I did. I drank every day for the next 13 years. Now, did you know, because I surely didn't, that the American Medical Association and the World Health Organization say that alcoholism is actually a chronic progressive disease, and that left untreated, it actually ends in death? That means that gradually over time, this disease gets worse, never better. And that was my actual experience, because in the beginning, it was a ton of fun. But pretty soon, it became fun plus problems, and eventually, it was just a real lot of problems for me. So, in the month of February, which is a very good month, on February 22nd of 1982 in Byron, California, at the age of 34, I went to my very first AA meeting. And there I met these six old men. I know. There really weren't a lot of women getting sober in AA in those days, so. But this is what they said to me. They said, you know, you have a fatal disease. You have an allergy of the body coupled with a mental obsession of the mind. Most people with our disease end up in jails, institutions, or dead. But that doesn't have to be the case. And they explained to me further, the problem that you have isn't really alcohol. This is only a symptom of the disease. The real problem is that you suffer from a soul sickness, and unless you heal spiritually, you will not be healing physically or mentally. I really felt doomed. Fortunately, though, they also told me that I could try doing what they did because it worked for them. And one man said to me, besides, he said, I know something that you don't, which was a surprise to me. But anyway. But anyway. He did. He said, I know how to get through a day without a drink or a drug or a pill, and you don't. Well, I thought then, and I still believe now, that truer words were never spoken. Can you imagine? These old men told me that I would need to ask whatever kind of God I thought there was to keep me sober one day at a time, and to thank my higher power every single night for the gift of life and sobriety. I was told outright that my recovery, my sobriety, would be contingent on my spiritual condition, and that I would need to find a power greater than myself if I wanted long-term recovery. So I did what people in the 12-step program do. We call it step three. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. Now, looking back, this still amazes me because I didn't start debating or arguing. I was so completely desperate that I was also completely willing and teachable. I do believe that left on my own, I surely would have died an alcoholic death. So, fast forward, I moved to Grass Valley a couple of years ago to help my daughter Hillary run for office. But I had spent the prior 10 years retired in San Felipe, Mexico, where a small group of us studied A Course of Miracles every Saturday morning. So I asked some of the people in AA if they had any idea where I might find such a class, and good news, they said, try Unity. And luckily for me, that's what I did, and I am so, so thankful. For me, I didn't feel as though I could honestly attend a religious church, that believed in a more traditional God. And I want you to know that this is just one of the very most important reasons that Unity is so precious to me. Because here I am invited to grow spiritually, and I am allowed to have a God of my own understanding based on my own experience. You have no idea what a relief that really is. I didn't think anything like this actually existed in real life. I often think of Unity as being just a super spiritual oasis, and that somehow I got to be fortunate enough to be able to be here and to take classes with you. I've had some of the most incredible loving teachers who are so inspiring to me. I've been able to take A Way of Mastery and A Course of Love and other classes as well. And I think I should probably just mention, though, also at this time, that on the 22nd of this month, I will have been granted 38 years of continuous recovery. But seriously, I want to share with you that I have always, always longed for a place like this where I could continue to grow spiritually, and it's such good news to be able to be here. You have made this and so much more possible for me. I am so deeply grateful to each and every one of you people here, most especially to the founding members that worked so hard. I know this didn't just happen overnight. I know it was just a lot of work. I will always be grateful to you for this gift. And now I want you to know that I believe that we are all of us here being in love together. We're called here to this sacred place so that we can hold each other's hands and walk home together in love. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to each one of you for your testimonial, and I hope that warms your hearts, Reverend Joe and Lynn, for all the people that you never knew back then who would show up. So we are all blessed. So let us continue at this time with our love offering.